Bored with Friends, episode 17. Arg!
I mean, I'm not allowed to tell that story because Zach wants to stay on topic.
Stay on topic.
All right, well, we got a little off topic.
Again, 40%. I'm lazy and I'm a mooch. What I do?
This is not that kind of podcast.
I mean, would you prefer that I do the intro?
Welcome to Bored with Friends, the podcast about hobby gaming and all the other things we feel like talking about on that particular day. My name is not Zach Dyer. I'm Sean Bissonette. Joined with me today, I have Zach Dyer.
Hey, Sean!
I have Walt Chad.
I did this joke a few weeks ago!
And then we got Devin.
I'm here because Zach finally realized that I'm only narcissistic. So that's the only way I'll listen to his podcast.
Fantastic! So this is a bi-weekly podcast. We put it up and we talk about, what games we've been playing. Sometimes we do a review of a game. Zach, we're going to do that today, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
This is a hell of an intro. Zach, I'm going to let you host your show now.
Hey, thanks, Sean.
Fantastic.
Fantastic intro.
This is the best intro we've ever done.
Sean's
really
new
intro
voice.
From now on, I declare it.
Don't do that to Sean. He's busy with his other stuff.
My friends don't let me intro my own podcast. They just start because I'm like, all right, guys, we're going to get ready. All right, so I'm like 10. And when I get down to
you
5.
You have your own podcast?
Yes, I do.
Sean, what's the name of your own podcast?
Why don't you tell us about it,
Sean? Well, it's the Local Multiplayer Podcast. If you want to find it on the video of one of it on YouTube, the channel name is The Land Party. But if you want to look on iTunes and Google Play and et cetera, so on, it's just Local Multiplayer Podcast.
Intros are really hard because I have my own YouTube show, and I have yet to figure out how to
intro each
shows.
You don't even have a YouTube show.
You basically say, hi, I'm Walt Chad, and today
I'm Walt Chad.
You should drop that lame Radimus Prime name and go with Walt Chad.
I like Walt Chad.
Yeah,
I mean, hate that name.
You're in my phone as Walt Chad.
Oh my god! Oh no!
This is
phantasmic. No, this can't be a thing.
My friends in my podcast, I'm like, all right, let's get ready, guys. And then Corey will be like, what's going on, guys? I'm like, well, it's supposed to be mine.
Hey guys,
did you just let him go with it?
But this is my show.
Yeah, but it's live. That's the difference. Sean does his live.
This is true.
We record ours so that you can make yourself look like the star. And I have like 3-4 lines.
I'm gonna re-edit the whole thing, so it's just me talking.
There's gonna be a whole lot of dead air.
Everybody loves that. Anyway, we're here to talk about board games, which seems to be my catchphrase of the show because you guys always try to derail it.
I think you have another catchphrase, and I think it's in the opening of the show.
Stay on topic.
Anyway. So today we played a game called Dead Men Tell No Tales. It was a pirate-themed game from Minion Games.
I feel like we shouldn't review this game.
I feel like it's appropriately named.
No, I
way to bury the lead there.
I have feelings about this game. Some of them
We'll get to them, but let's explain the game first. All right.
Sure.
So Dead Men Tell No Tales...
No. I was a giggly fit.
I love it. Zach has to now explain this game. Can I just does anyone like to estimate how long it took Zach to explain the rules of this game to us?
I believe there's a timeline where he's still explaining the rules to us. And that, friends, is the darkest timeline.
Well, that gives away a little bit of our opinion. Essentially, this game is a tile laying game with if you've ever played.
Betrayal.
Oh, God, it's so difficult to explain this. It's kind of like in the vein of Betrayal in the House on the Hill, or like Carcassonne, that kind of thing. You're drawing random tiles, you're putting them out, and your pirate's invading a pirate ship, and you're trying to find the loot. The pirate ship is haunted by skeleton crew, and you are trying to defeat them to get to the loot. The ship is exploding, it's on fire, and it really is a great theme. Can we all agree on that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's sort of like Monkey Island meets board game.
Yeah.
There's even Grog.
It's basically
not nearly as much character as Monkey Island.
What I was going to say was
that's a fair comparison.
So the entire time we were either humming some combination of the Pirates of the Caribbean song or for some reason the Skyrim theme song. So we were kind of
can't hum correctly.
Well, no, that's because the Skyrim theme song and the Pirates of the Caribbean. The Pirates of the Caribbean are very similar.
Okay.
Full disclosure, I was singing Up All Night to Get Lucky by Daft Punk.
You were the entire time.
So I don't even know.
Well, fine. Then
adapted
lyrics. Can I tell you my favorite part?
Walt and I
Right now we're sat the same way we were sat at the table.
This is true.
I'm not even going to...
There's a lovely candle for ambiance because someone doesn't know how to change a light bulb.
It's not... The light bulb's fine.
Rewire them, bro.
I've already explained this on another podcast.
And you don't
actually,
need to
I've
now.
Explained this on two podcasts already, because I do now apparently three podcasts out of this goddamn.
I mean, you haven't explained it yet. You just said you already explained it.
Yes.
So what happened?
So you have to listen to Geek Cred in order to find out why he can't change a light bulb.
And if you don't want to listen to it there, listen to Talk Russell Talk.
How many Walt Chaz does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know, Devin. How many Walt Chaz does it take to change
a
light bulb?
There's only the one.
I mean...
So it'll never get done.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
So it's a tile-in game. You're fighting fires. You're fighting pirates. You're trying to get treasure. Overall, it's a fun theme.
Yes. I have to admit, I went into the game really excited. I like pirates. I like the fact that my pirate Whitebeard looked like Pirate Big Boss. So I went in like, all right, this can be fun. And then...
Well, again, I feel like we have to explain this game first.
Yeah, so let's
right?
do that.
So the game, you're on your turn, you place a tile, you expand the ship further. You have actions that you can take to look through the ship and try and find the treasure that you're looking for. You find treasure by defeating the skeleton crew, and you flip them over and you get a bonus for it. Sometimes it's treasure, sometimes it's cutlasses that give you extra power when you're fighting other pirates and stuff like that. But you're working together and you're trying to get through the ship. It's an interesting game, and when you actually get to play it, I felt it was successful at, you know, achieving the theme and being a good cooperative game.
It was a great cooperative game.
I will praise it for the game being good like that.
The
yes.
four of us have not worked together like that. Even playing Ghostbusters, which is another cooperative game that we've played, mm-hmm. like we were all on the same page of we need to get this gold and we need to get off this burning ship.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The problem with this game, and I'm going to try to put this nicely, is the rule book is a steaming pile of garbage. I hated it. This is the worst rule book I've ever read.
The rule book was, yeah. So you as the man reading the rule book, normally I'm very attentive when you read the rules to these games because there's a lot of stuff we have to go over. I don't want to be the guy not knowing what we're doing. I couldn't pay attention to what you were saying, even kind of. None of it made any sense. It didn't explain. It's like, all right, so here is a bunch of facts. Now in the next section, we're going to explain other facts. But we're not going to explain how they connect to one another. You'll figure that out when you look at the pictures on the cards. By the way, here's some more facts.
Oh, and by the way, the pictures on the cards don't match the pictures of the cards in the book.
And half the pictures that are on the cards aren't in the book.
Yes. So I have to ask you this time. Has anyone else read the Sword of Truth series of fantasy novels by Terry Goodkind?
No,
okay, yeah, because no one should. You shouldn't. This is not a recommendation. But there's a book in it called The Book of Counted Shadows, and it is magicked so that as you read, you instantly forget what you read. I imagine that the rule book for Dead Men Tell No Tales, similar magic spell on it. Because the more you explained to me, the less I knew about the game.
I mean, a lot of these types of games that we play, or I don't want to say nerdier games, I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but the types of games that we are typically playing or reviewing. Or
hobby gaming, hobby I believe gaming, is the term. Yeah.
Sorry.
And all the nerdy fun that goes with it. You
yeah,
can say nerdy.
Sure.
But those types of games, you get the most out of learning by doing, and to this game's credit, you had to learn by doing.
Oh, yes.
So if we played this again, we'd be totally fine. It wouldn't be nearly as frustrating as it was.
Honestly, the best advice I can give to learn this game and to teach it is to find somebody else who already knows it and have them teach it to you so you can teach it to other people.
Did they play it on tabletop or anything like that?
No. Okay. So you got to find people who have reviewed it online or something like that.
Well, even then, if the best way to do it is put aside the rule book. Like, look at the basics of how each turn is supposed to go, and then stop reading the rule book. And as you come across things, try to find it in the rule book and then solve it that way. Or just come up with your own house rules. Because I feel like we could have had a lot of fun with the game
Absolutely.
On our own. Yeah.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I mean, production-wise, I felt the game was a win. Okay. I mean, I liked the tokens, the tiles, the artwork was good. Everything conveyed, you know, a sense of the atmosphere it was trying to create.
It
had
use
cool pirate meeples.
Gel packet
no,
in the box.
Because you tried to eat the last
no,
one.
No, Walt tried to eat the last
that's
one.
True,
don't you put that on.
Did you put that somewhere where the cat won't get it?
Oh, crap. Walt fell down. Anyway.
To be fair, you handed it to him and said, Walt, eat this. But talking of it, there was some Boeing on the larger pieces.
Yes, I noticed that.
That bothered me, and I feel like one more silica packet in the box would actually,
which is interesting because the cardboard was pretty thick. I wasn't expecting to find that, but yeah, the main tile piece was starting to bow, which is a little irritating. You know, when you have that happen, especially since tile laying is a crucial element of the game.
Exactly.
Which I love tile laying games. I like Carcassonne. I like, you know, all the games that do that because it adds a random element to it, which adds to the replay value.
Yes.
And I hate that we sound so negative when I talk about the rules of this game, because once we learned it, we were having fun.
Yeah, we
were really enjoying it.
I really felt at the same time a few of us were trying to... I'm not going to say who on air. We're trying to overcome their frustration.
Why are you pointing a finger at me?
Because you looked completely and utterly miserable.
I think I've only maybe seen you have a similar look on your face
when you were getting your butt handed to you by me and Spectre Ops, and we just got annoyed that you couldn't find my amazingly stealthy skills. Oh wait, I'll let you finish, Sean.
I was going to say something work related.
Completely different.
Not getting your butt kicked by Chad over here.
Yo, bro, what up?
Sup, bro? Guess what?
Don't do it.
I'm here.
I totes owned you in Spec Ops, bro.
All right, that was like 15 episodes ago. Anyway.
Well, because we don't swear anymore, so I can't do my normal Chad impression.
That's true.
Hey, we've got to like PG him up a little bit.
Chad is dead. Don't do that. You're going to get it backwards.
The attitude dead era of Chad is dead.
Sup, dorks?
It's like asking DX to survive in the PG era.
But
I'm curious about the time that you saw Zach without much frustration. If we could go back to
I was just gonna say being upset about something at work that you can't really handle or control.
I don't know if it was that bad. It was just frustrating because I was really excited to play this game. I got it months ago for my birthday, and I just have not been able to get it to the table to try and play it. So I brought three games with me today to say, okay, these are three games I have not played. I think I can teach them. Let's see what we can do. You guys picked the one game I have not thoroughly read the rule book on, and it was
To be fair.
Ah, so it's your fault.
No.
Yeah, sure.
To be fair, you said, what game do you guys want to play? The two of them said, I don't care. And then I said, pick whatever one's the best one. And you picked that one.
No, he actually picked it.
Oh, okay. Oh, my bad.
I said I'm happy with any game. I just like hanging out with buddies. I just have a pizza, good times.
I just didn't want this to turn into what happened last week where we took a half hour to decide on a game. So instead I picked the game that took an hour to explain.
Yeah, but you know what? To its credit, we finished it awfully quickly.
We did, yeah.
And unfortunately, unlike most games, there wasn't an, oh, man, that's it. Like, can we play another round? It was a... Oh, thank God, we're finished.
It's like, oh, that's done. Okay,
like,
cool.
When we finished, I don't want to... If you, this was you, you can speak up. Someone at the end of the game, I'm pretty sure, went, no, that's good, because that means the game's over.
And that was me, but I got to tell you, upon reflection, upon talking about it, we do understand the mechanics of the game now.
Yes.
And I know I'd be up for it. I doubt anyone else would be, but I'd bust it out after the recording and try to play another game.
No,
I absolutely would.
Today, no, but that's like, I feel like this is the kind of game. So I know you really like Settlers of Catan, Zach, right?
I like it.
Okay, so
I'd give it a 3, not a 4.
Well, fair enough. No, but this is the kind of game like Catan where it's, I'll play it, and then after I play it, I don't need to play it for a while. I'll come back and I'll play it later. That was fun enough, but I'm not jonesing for more. Like when we played Ghostbusters or
that's true. I do. I'm not jonesing for it, but I would like to. I think what I'm saying is I'd like to give it a fair shake. I think that because of the frustration and because of us, and it's us, it's user error.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to speak completely ill of the game. There's some other stuff. I mean,
the rule book could have been less bad, but
there was. I will say I agree with Devin. With a caveat is that I feel that it was some element of user error, but a lot of what we did run into was the failure for the rules to convey to us convincing fashion, I guess, is the word I'm looking for.
Coherent.
Coherent. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Devin.
It's okay.
What I will say, though,
still is trying to improve my vocabulary is Devin Decker.
Gotta use, like, lots of words, man. Like, big ones, they're better than little ones.
Yep.
For words and stuff, but what I was going to say was, even though the rule book was convoluted and silly, it was also easy enough for us to figure out what it was supposed to do.
I will point out it took three of us reading that rule book to figure stuff out. Because yeah, at one point, Zach got just frustrated and stopped reading altogether. To be fair, I was like, just give me the book. Because he was looking on his Facebook to like, maybe someone else has figured this stuff out. So I took the book from him. Can I look at this? And he just kind of like glared at me. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I took it from him. And then Devin took it from me.
To clarify, though, I always give you that look.
This is true.
Yeah, that's a well-honed look.
Yeah.
Friend, but no, so that's like, all. I'm
yeah, I just
that,
won a lottery ticket. I want to split it.
I felt it was the look of you. Seriously, think you, Walt Chad, can read better than me,
guys? Zach. We made him do it.
You said it.
Tis I, Walt Chad.
I feel that if Devin and Atari on Geek Cred can speak in the third person and constantly refer to himself as Devin, I can every
Who
now
is
and
this
then
dude like completely biting my
Walt
style.
Chad.
He got my name. He got the whole "I'm going to use my name all the time." I'm Devin Decker.
No, see, you're saying "I'm." This gentleman never says "I'm." Listen to an episode of Geek Cred. He just refers to himself as Devin. So when Devin has an opinion, Devin says. So Devin thinks that possibly Devin's opinion should be, you know, blah blah blah.
There can be only one, is all I'm going to end that with.
Listening to Geek Cred.
I bet that's going to get cut.
But no, I have a feeling that whole segment's going to get
what
cut.
What I'm trying to say is that we kind of bagged on it a little bit, but I am willing to try it again. Now that I have the necessary skills to actually play the game.
Yeah, and I've played games like this before where I was frustrated. The learning curve was higher. The really frustrating part about this game isn't that complicated.
Yes, I know that's...
It's the rules, the way they are written, are complicated to learn, and there's a lot of iconography in it that really needed a glossary in order to figure out what they meant. I mean, how long did it take us to figure out what that one symbol with the skeleton pirate meant?
Well, to be fair, Sean knew that from the beginning,
All they needed to do was add a page with the image of it and say, this is what this means.
Actually, I was wrong. I thought that was add pirate, not move pirate.
Yeah.
Because the move deckhands had a move symbol, but the move pirates didn't. It was just a picture of a pirate. So it didn't make any sense.
Can I point out one thing that definitely works against this game is that the enemies in this game are small tokens that are shaped like that have drawings of skeletons on them.
Those are
and then Jolly you have yeah. and those are your
minions, crook, deckmen, grud.
Well,
crewmen,
that no, and that's the problem.
The
there are
deckhands.
Pirate tokens that are like that are. They're not crewmen. What are they? They're like
they're
the actual enemies you had to
pirates.
Fight. The one with the one, yeah. They're skeleton pirates, and then there are skeleton crew. And so it's
crew. What is this? A holiday?
You have deckhands,
which is the immediate thing I drew out of it.
You have deckhands who are represented by
a skull,
and then you have the actual skeleton crew,
which are
another skeleton,
which are little cardboard chits that have like, artwork on them and a number.
They're also
skeletons. You can fight those guys, just to clarify what they do. When you fight them, they have a number on it, and you have to roll a die to see if you can beat them or not. But one of the actions that you can take is actually to add on, you can buff your character and have extra to kind of augment
you
your dice roll.
Yeah,
you can hulk up. And so if you need to get an 8, and you can the highest number you can roll is a 6, you need at least 2 to buff up.
Yeah. Yes.
You can also find cutlasses, which add to that to make it a permanent buff, which I actually really like.
I love that. I thought that was really big.
Well, I liked that. I found
that was fantastic.
Them all.
Especially if, like, okay, I only had 5 actions
to
work with.
That's how we lost.
I'm going to move. I'm going to fight the fires. Yep. I got 1 action left. I might as well just buff up a little bit. Use it for later.
Yep.
It's kind of cool. It was kind of like the water action in Takanoko, it felt for me. Like, I got nothing else to do. I'm just going to take one of the water sticks and, save it for later.
Oh, that's that little panda game,
yeah,
right?
The panda game. those kinds of things. I like when there's always a useful action to do, and that is always useful.
That is
just
always
to buff
useful,
up.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we found we needed it later, because there were some pretty bad die rolls. There was one epically awesome die roll.
Nice job, Walt Chad.
Yes, thank you.
Walt Chad, I will give you that credit.
I think, though, having 2 8 pirates seems a little much. Mm. I mean, like, you can disagree with that, but that requires you to have at least buffed twice. And then even if you buffed the 2 additional times, you still need a 5 or a 6 to beat it. Mm. Like, it's...
Or had cutlasses as well.
No, but even the cutlasses, though, that just holds your buff.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, it's... That just seems like... one of those makes sense, but two seems a little mm-hmm. imbalanced. Like, one real difficult thing. I don't know.
So, I have a question about this game, actually, because we kind of jumped into it because
we did.
Were there, like, we were all just given character cards. Are characters dealt out randomly?
Yes.
I don't like that.
I love
because
that.
Because you don't know who, A, you don't know who you're getting, and I don't know what the other characters are. So if, like, we're working together to solve a problem, I always like to choose based on what my skill set is.
Well, if you got a problem, I'll solve it.
Check out the beat while Devin resolves it. Ice, Devin.
I was waiting for an opportunity.
Devin had the ability of having one more ability each round. I had the ability of not being fatigued nearly enough. I don't recall what either.
He could attack
adjacent Zach. Enemies, right?
Hi,
Zach
I'm
could
he.
Put out fire in adjacent.
This is not a video
rooms,
podcast.
And Sean could attack the deckhand, the skeletal crew.
I could kill two for one action.
Yes.
Was it two for one or two for a free action?
Two for one. But then the dagger lets me do a kill deckhand for free, so that's why I could do him for
free.
Oh,
that's right. Okay. Right.
So I could kill two
for
nothing.
So there's equipment that you can carry. There's, you know, variable player powers. I mean, I thought that was cool. And being able to...
Oh, the powers were cool and all, but the only problem I felt is that the characters didn't really... And Devin mentioned it earlier, is that he thought the game would resemble Monkey Island. And I thought, I was kind of hoping for that as well, or even Pirates of the Caribbean. It just felt like generic pirate game. I never felt
which
any attachment
fine.
To these characters. Unlike that last game we reviewed last
that's
episode,
true, that's
which
because
was,
there's no flavor text.
There wasn't any. But here's the thing: in this game, there is actual character death. So one of the things is if you lose your character. You respawn.
Also, it's like a Sierra adventure game.
Yes, it is. But you come back as a different character. So you would just draw the next character in the box and move on to the next one. That's, I feel, kind of mitigates that problem for you. Because you're going to get another character. There's no reason to choose a character. If you die, you're going to get another character.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with it because it adds to replay value. Because I'm not going to lie. Having that extra action was handy. And I would always pick that character.
Well, the other thing I was going to say was... Oh, no, sorry. That will
force me to get to know the other characters.
Yeah.
You make a good point. Okay.
All this game is about is that. I mean, even in the rules, it's like by dealing out a character card and an item card to everybody, each game begins different.
Yeah.
And not only that, but we'll explain how you can die and whatnot in a little bit, but the idea is you're disposable. So why would you get to pick who you are? Because if you die, you're just going to get dealt another random person.
The idea
anyways.
Is the captain of your ship is just sending you there because he doesn't care
so
how
just,
many
you're
you
just
die.
A crewman.
Yeah. You are just a crewman trying to survive.
So it's, you know, if you die, here's your new character card.
Yeah.
And here's a new item.
I'm actually kind of upset
later.
That didn't come into the game.
Yeah, I kind of wish that had happened. But I think, I mean, there's always the danger of it happening, especially if you're in an exploding room. Mm-hmm. We didn't have too
which
many
we haven't gotten to yet. Don't worry, guys.
But...
We're getting there.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be struck about this game.
But I like it because it gives so many things that you have to be concerned about. You know, there's so many... It's like Pandemic and Flashpoint Fire Rescue and any other cooperative game. There's so many fires to put out. You know,
and actually,
so many things you've got to do.
The fire spreading actually works exactly...
He was so proud of that.
I was very proud of that.
The fire spreading works... The exploding barrels work exactly like the virus spreading in Pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like an outbreak.
Yeah.
I mean, you have... You know, some of the tiles that come out have powder kegs on them, which, you know, okay, pirates use weapons that have powder kegs, so it makes sense that they're on the ship. So thematically, it's appropriate. But if you the fires are represented by a die on each tile, and they're either red or yellow. You flip a card at the end of your turn, which determines how the ship is getting revenge on you, basically, and it tells you which dies are going to increase. And once they get to six, they would explode. If the powder keg number is reached on the die, the powder keg explodes. So all these explosions that are happening are spreading fire throughout the ship, and they're intensifying it even worse. It makes it so much more difficult to move around because you're trying to find the treasure, but at the same time, you don't want the boat to explode with you on it. So you're trying to put out the fire, but at the same time, the crewmen are starting to build up, and they're going to overwhelm you and cause you to lose actions. It's just a crazy, crazy, you know... head game of you trying to figure out with everybody else on your team what you can do to deal with this. I loved that.
Yes.
I will absolutely praise this game for that, because I felt it was definitely one of the better cooperative designs. It's just that rule book really bugged the crap out of me.
Yes. And once you're frustrated, it's hard to get back.
Oh, yeah.
It. I'll agree.
Well, and that's why I was saying this is the kind of thing where I wouldn't necessarily jump back into it, you know, right away. But it's the kind of game that now that we know how to play it, I wouldn't mind playing again, just because it would be a lot less frustrating because now we know what to do. So, like, for example, the first two turns we did, before we knew that when you drew a card and it had the little skeleton man on it, because it didn't have the arrows on it, we didn't know that it was going to move. So I spawned more skeleton guys. So we went through our skeletons in the bag more quickly than we were supposed to, because I didn't know which ones I put down by mistake. So we lost that game faster than we should have.
Yeah, like that's a good point. Like, there might have still been treasure in the bag if we hadn't played it that way.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
So, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but now that we've played the game, now we know how to play the game.
Well, and also the thing that I feel, and I don't hate to be the only naysayer, is that first impressions do matter a lot, and I feel that this one might kind of ruin any few. I'm going to definitely try the game again, but I don't know.
If Zach hadn't said it was a birthday present, maybe I'd be dogging on it a little bit more, but I want him to think that his birthday present had value.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't spend money on it.
to be honest. He's been mocking me all day. I'm thoroughly happy to tell him that his birthday present sucked. It didn't suck.
It's not that it sucked, but
the look of horror on Demis.
Wait, who got it for you? Your parents or your wife?
My sister.
Oh, okay, who cares? Whatever. So
she read that rule book and like, this is going to frustrate Zach.
I'm sorry,
happy
Zach.
Birthday,
sisters never get
brother.
Good presents.
I'm sorry.
I asked for it.
I'm sorry, Zach's sister. Jesus.
No. But actually, I understand why you're coming down on it, and I was at that same exact level until we discussed it and was like, oh, but I understand the game now.
Yeah.
And the biggest obstacle, the thing that really frustrated us and what took so long was that we had no idea what we were doing. Like, we did. We were blind people walking around in the dark for two full rotations of the table.
Yeah.
And then we finally were like, well, let's read the rule book again and see what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. And now that we know what to do right, I'd give it another shot.
Yeah, I'd definitely go again.
I have to agree with everything you said. I mean, it was difficult to overcome the learning the game.
Yes.
But once we did, I do think this was a good game. I was happy with that. I mean, the couple of little things that, you know, during gameplay, you know, we had to figure out the icons and stuff like that. But once we started to get into a rhythm, you know, okay, on your turn, you're going to have to fight the fires. You know, my guy was geared to fight the fire. So you guys were, like, setting me up in positions to do it. But at the same time, we knew we needed to get that gold. So, I mean, we had to make a decision. Like, okay, do we rush into the next two rooms and try and fight this guy and hope that there's gold there? The thing that stunk, this game is punishing when it comes down, and which is good for a co-op, honestly.
Right.
But, I mean, if you hadn't accidentally, and I assume it was an accident, looked at those tokens, I mean, we would have probably still been, you know,
we'd
still played a little bit longer.
We'd be recording right now, we'd be playing.
But we would have found out, like, you know, later on, like, oh, we didn't meet the goal. We had to get 6 gold, and there was only 5 left to get because the room exploded.
In the rules, it does say keep track of treasures.
Yeah.
So, and there were only 8 in the game, right? I believe that you mentioned
something like that.
You need 6 as the win. We played on the medium level.
Mm. Yeah, there's difficulty levels that you can set, just like most co-ops. So
the difficulty level we set was at the medium, and the win condition was get 6 treasures off of the ship.
Yep.
And I believe there are 8 because Sean had mentioned that. So once we had blown up 2 rooms that had treasure in them, like, that right there says to us, oh, there's no way we can win the game.
Yeah.
So it is something that you need to be ready for.
You could win if you blew up two. That means there were exactly 6.
Yeah, this is true, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We had lost enough treasure where it wasn't possible to win.
Yeah.
Which was frustrating because I think we really, if we had won, might have had a little bit more positive things to say about it. But at the same time, that's a sign of a good co-op is that it's difficult to win. Yeah. Now, we could have gone the easy route and played on easy mode, but that's not what you do when Devin Decker's in the room.
I beat Song of the Deep on Advanced. I unlocked every trophy in my first playthrough.
I'm going to refer you back to a game of Pandemic where you decided to play on Legendary.
I know, and we almost saved the world.
No.
That's all I'm going to say, is that if we hadn't pulled that last Pandemic card, we had cured 3 diseases and eradicated one. And to be fair, that's when you play with all of the Deckers.
Was somebody being Jesus?
Because my mother... Nice.
No, the medic is Jesus. You just... Because once you... one of the... Oh, no, maybe this is only in Legacy, because I've only ever played Legacy.
No, it's in regular.
There's definitely a medic. We had the dispatcher.
Yep.
I don't even remember. The one who when it walks through stuff, it cleans.
Yeah, that's Jesus. It's the medic.
Zach was Jesus. He's always Jesus.
You just walk through. You walk through.
But to be fair, my mother was the one who's like, if we're playing, we're going to play on the hardest level. I'm Dorothy Decker. I play board games, Zach. And that was
your mom
very
sounds an awful lot like
mother.
You.
Yeah. You should meet my family. You have met my family.
I met your family,
to my house.
I mean, I've never heard your family refer to themselves in the third person.
They all do it. It's insane.
It is really... My father says he won't, but, like, in secret times, he has. Like, one time, I called him, and he picked up the phone, and he goes, Dennis Decker! And I go, that was amazing. He goes, I will deny it happened.
I do love that for, like... Is your ringtones, your voicemail still... Devin Decker!
Mine is Devin Decker. Dale's is not Dale Decker because her cell phone is a work number now if she's trying to get work, so it's actually professional.
All I'm saying
but
is...
my mother's is also Devin Decker!
I want to call your mom just to hear that.
That's good.
Anyway,
you can look her
back to the
up.
Game.
No, but that's the thing. Yeah, I do like it. I'm glad we didn't go on the challenge mode because we looked at it and it's like, well, I'm already confused at what this game
is. The only thing we would have had to do is kill all the skeleton and get 6 treasures.
Yeah. Right, so the second we blew up that room that had a skeleton in it, game over.
Yeah, yeah.
Our first explosion.
But I'm just saying, Zach and I were like ready to straight up murder some dead people.
Yeah, you guys were. You guys were our juggernauts.
Oh, yeah.
Our enforcers.
Which I found to be counterintuitive to my character, though, because he was designed to fight the fire.
Yar, Mr.
Yeah,
Fireman.
I was fighting a bunch of fires.
Yeah.
When, like, mine was like, you can buff for free every turn and then have to do everything.
My woman was just straight murder everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were designed to do that.
You were designed to that. He was designed, though, to fight fires. And just the way, because in the quest to fight fires, you would run into skeletal pirates.
And it was fun.
Yeah.
All right, so I think we've said quite a bit about it, but let's do a roundtable on this one. Walt, how about you start us off?
What do you want me to talk about that we haven't already talked about?
Just kind of like closing thought, overall thoughts, reiterating,
would you recommend
et cetera,
the game?
So on. Yeah.
Devin, how about you start us off? Would you recommend this game?
Honestly, knowing what I know now, I would. I probably wouldn't recommend. I'd want to play it with people. I would borrow your copy and play it with people, and then go from there. This is another one that I'm not ready to rush out and buy. If it were on special, like Sheriff of Nottingham was for Prime Day.
Sheriff's great.
I love that game. I would buy Sheriff in a heartbeat, but the wait list was full. Anywho, this is not a game I would rush out and buy. And that's something. Like I want to buy that game, the Interstellar Pig game. I can't remember.
Chaosmos.
Oh,
yeah.
I bought the book. That's why I know the name. I literally signed onto the internet at work the next day and was like, I might buy this game. Because that was a game that, like, I really enjoyed it. I could see me getting people to play this game. Dead Men Tell No Tales totally fits into the aesthetic of the games that we own at our house, but I feel like it would just sit there collecting dust the way that the NCIS game and Logos, the board game, have just sat and collected dust at my house. Because there are things that we like. Pirates, like right there, any decker would want to buy it, but we would never play it. And that's just the fact of it. But if I were like, if I knew I were going somewhere or if there were going to be a game night, I'd bring it along and see if people were interested. I think that now that I understand how to play it, I could push that forward. So I'd give it, again, on a scale of 1 to 5, I would give it the 4.
Okay.
It's really good.
Sean, how about you?
4's awfully high, Jesus. Hey, I didn't mean to go to the belly. I'm sorry, Kat. Jeez. Anyway, so I would not buy the game. I would very much not mind that someone I knew bought the game and then I got to play it again. So kind of like what we just did now. So if I go home and tell my brother about this game and I'm like, the rule book was really convoluted and it was a little annoying the first go around, but then it was okay after that. If my brother was like, all right, cool, I'm going to buy it. Do you want to play it? I'd be like, yeah, sure, I'll play it. I'll teach you how to play it. my recommendation would be if you wanted to buy this game, because in theory this game sounds really cool. So what did you call it, like a tile what?
It's a tile laying game.
So tile lane or tile
laying.
Lane? Tile laying game. So like if you like Betrayal and you like Pandemic and you like just cooperative games in general, then this has all of the pieces that would make a really great game, but the way that it's delivered to you and explained to you really does ruin some of it a little bit. So I would say it's a fine game. So I would like to give it another chance, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend buying it. But that being said, if you did want to buy it, I looked on YouTube really quick. Dice Tower has a in-depth review of it. So like go on them or go on to a different channel if you look at YouTube reviews on hobby games and whatnot and watch their review of it and get an idea of what their – because obviously we're saying how we feel, but it's different when you can see it. So, you know, listen to us and then go ahead and watch one of their in-depth video review, rule reviews, yada, yada, yada. So, I mean, if I had to – I don't like giving stuff on a scale necessarily. I mean, if I had to, I would say probably land somewhere in the mid-threes, like a 3.5.
Okay.
But a 4 is high.
But – well, because it was okay. Well, fine. If it was okay, then a 3. 3 is okay. It's right in the middle.
Yeah.
So I'd give it a 3 or maybe – but, you know, like I said, it's a fine game. It's a little complicated, not because it's a complicated game, but because the pieces – you need to piece together what the pieces mean, and that's annoying because you should be able to tell.
Yeah.
The iconography is – he's correct. An iconography page would have gone 1,000 miles.
The biggest thing that annoys me, and I still can't get over it, I'm gonna pass it over to you, Zach. I'm really sorry. The fact that you know, at the end of your turn and you draw the kind of like – revenge deck or whatever the heck they call it, and there are four different icons that can be there. There's one that's a question mark, which means that there's an explosion.
No, a question mark means that you roll.
Okay.
You re-roll the question mark die.
No,
it adds anything empty. What does the question mark do? It's not explosion.
The question mark was explosion. It was an explosion image with a question mark on it, which in the book it just showed the explosion image.
Yep.
It didn't have the
question mark.
They
never explained what the question mark was.
If you got three of them, it meant
you had to shuffle the revenge deck again.
Shuffle the deck, pandemic style, gotcha. And put it back on.
Yeah.
We're
still confused on what
we're
doing.
Still a little confused.
So, and then there's a picture of a trap door, which means that any area that has a trap door in it, you respawn like the little minion dudes. There's one which shows the trapdoor with like a compass around them, and that means that you move all of those minion dudes towards a pirate. And then there's one where it's just the pirate icon, which means move the pirates towards you. Why doesn't that one have arrows?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't have arrows, but it means the same thing as the one with arrows. That's all, Zach.
That's all, Zach.
Did you have anything you wanted to say, Walt?
Well, I never gave my opinion on it.
But, I know. That's why I went back to you.
Okay. Pass. And not an opinion pass on the game. I know that's harsh, and I would probably rate it like a 2 out of 10.
Okay.
It's very convoluted, as we've exhausted that opinion on.
2 out of 10, that's
That's a 1 on a 5 scale.
It's not worth the hassle in my mind to try to get you. There was not enough reward there. Like, we came very close to winning. And even had we won, I don't think I would have walked away with a good experience. Now, again, I do plan on playing this one more time to see if, now that I understand the rules, if there's anything there. There's just not enough there gameplay-wise that really caught my interest. The exploding barrels was really cool. Maybe if it had happened a little closer to us. It didn't, though, so it didn't really affect much. It all just kind of happened in two squares, and nothing came of it. I think some things that it could benefit from would be a traitor of some kind, like where one of the pirates tries to take all the treasure. if that pirate gets back, if there's like a hidden traitor amongst you, and if that pirate gets back to the boat before anybody else, he can get away with the treasure. It's just something to make give it a more piratey theme. You know what I mean? Because like, it just didn't feel very piratey to me.
Maybe a no honor among thieves card.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, where you're coming from.
Yeah.
By the way, we never explained the fatigue system.
It never came into play. That was it. It's this. Every time you do something, you gain a fatigue point.
Yeah.
And this is kept on a counter, and then you can rest, and then you recover fatigue points.
Well, if you get too much fatigue, you die.
Okay.
And also, the more fatigue you get, the less mobile you are, because if fires, which are indicated on a six-sided die, if you go below, I want to say it's every five. That seems like correct.
Something like that.
Yeah. So, like, once you get five fatigue, if there's a fire of intensity five, you can't enter that room.
Yeah.
Once you get to nine, four, and so on and so
forth. The other thing I absolutely... irked me about this game. It required so much per round. Every round you had to play a card. Then you had, to start off your round, take a tile out, choose where the tile goes. Okay, now you can engage in your turn. You do your turn. After your turn is resolved, now you have to deal, you have to play this card. Then you have to, even before that, before the round even begins, play a tile. Then you have to draw out of a bag a symbol. That symbol then goes on that tile. Then you get to play your turn. Then at the end of that turn, you flip over a card, and then you have to change all the dice to match. There just seemed to be like a lot going on between rounds that you didn't have a lot of control over, and it didn't seem fun to me.
You say that, but honestly, I feel like now that I have the skills needed, that we all have the skills to play the game, we could probably fart out a game in half an hour.
Oh, I'm sure we could, but none of it seemed that enjoyable to me is my point.
Well, I was also going to say that type of turn system is very similar to what Betrayal and like Dead of Winter and like stuff like that. So it's like, all right, there's
phases.
Yeah, here's phase one. Here's your play phase. Here's the ending phase.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very common thing to do. You know, Pandemic does it, Betrayal does it.
Hell, Ghostbusters did it, but it did it after everyone played.
Yeah. But also most games explain the way all those phases are supposed to work.
Exactly.
Cohesively.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying, like, now that we understand them,
coherently, rather.
I can't help but think, like, Ghostbusters did explain, had very similar rules to this. The pirates, it took us a while to figure out how they moved, because there was no card that just explained how pirates move. Mm. I'm sorry. What are they called? They're not pirates.
They're skeletals.
Skeletals. Those
deckhands and skeleton pirates. I don't know.
They are supposed to move towards the nearest pirate at any given point.
I call them Skeleman. Saul Skeleman.
That's good.
Like, where, as in Ghostbusters, it was clearly defined. Like, here's the card. It's right here. It's right here, and here's an example for you. There was none of that in this, and it just irritated me.
Okay. Well, I went into this game, you know, and I requested it as a birthday present because the theme alone was exciting. I really liked the idea of basically Pirates of the Caribbean in a board game, and it really was something that I was excited for. I like the game. I'm going to put that out there right now. The actual game, once you get to play it, I liked it. I like tile laying. I like cooperative games. I like that we were all involved in helping each other with our turns. It absolutely has all the elements of being, in my opinion, a good game. It is a slog to teach this game.
Yes.
And learn it, because that rule book is so bad. So if I were to recommend it to anyone, to take your comment one step further, Devin, I would highly recommend go online, find a tutorial.
Yeah.
There are, you know, BoardGameGeek.com, Dice Tower, you know, wherever
even
you want to go.
Contact us at Board with
Friends. We'll try to teach it to you.
I will walk you through it now. I'll do it in a webcam.
Zach, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Because you said that you've wished that this game had come up before. Now, having played the game with us, your numbskull friends, do you hope that this comes up with another game group that you play with your wife?
It probably will at some point. I mean, I'm definitely going to bring this one out. I want to give it a few more tries because I feel like now that I've got the rules down, I could teach it better. And I could, you know, if I bring this out with other people, this is going to be one that is requested more often because the other people that I've played games with, they really like this style of game. They like co-ops, you know, Carcassonne is very fun. You know, Flashpoint, Fire Rescue, all those kinds of games that have similar elements to this, just not all of the same elements all mixed into one game, I think this would go over well with them. But it all comes down to teaching it. You need to know how to play this game, and it is difficult to learn because of that rule book. I can't give it a higher score than what... Now that we're giving it scores, apparently, I can't give it a high... I would actually give
Sean
it a,
because he said, it's really good. And I'm like, well, that's a 4. Like it was sort of.
I would probably rate it at a 3, honestly. If we're going to give it a rating out of 5, I would give it a 3. What? It's an average game, but it's got some good elements to it.
Oh, is that what we're doing? I thought we were doing out of 10. My bad.
But you said 2 out of 10. I'm like, oh, my God, you really hate this thing.
I don't hate the game.
That's a 1 on a 5 score.
I would recommend it with the caveat.
Well, no, I was basing my score based on what Sean had. I thought Sean had given it a 3 out of a 10.
No,
I definitely don't like it more. I like it less than that, so let me go with a 2.
Kind of a principle, especially in the way that we're reviewing these games. I don't like giving them a number because a number
could lock you in.
Here's,
you started it.
Hold on.
We're like a customer service survey, and it's 1 to 5, 1 being poor, 5 being excellent.
But so that's not...
You give it the maximum good, because really that's good. What their bonus
but
is
what
based
it does,
on, Devin.
It's not entirely helpful. So let's change how we're reviewing it. Let's change how we're reviewing it really quick because it would be a simple one-word answer. Would you buy the game, would you avoid the game, or would you play the game if someone else had it?
So buy, try, or...
Avoid.
Avoid? Okay.
Buy, try, goodbye.
There you go. Devin comes up great. Buy, try, or goodbye.
Can we have like some middle of the roady ones? Like I can combine them together.
No. Try is what you want. Try is your middle of the road.
No, yeah, because that's your trying. You if someone has the game, you try it. Try would be
basically what you said.
I would but be a
already,
try very much
you're...
bordering on a buy.
Really?
I would be a try.
Bordering on a buy?
Yeah. No, as in a bye bye, not a.
So well, then you gotta say goodbye.
Goodbye. I'm sorry. Oh, yes, you're right.
Oh, B-Y-E.
Yeah, B-Y-E.
So you would be a try-by.
Yeah.
Try-by-by.
Okay.
All right, so it wasn't perfect because there's 2 byes. But you know what? We're working. We're building.
We've already changed this format of the show about 5 times now, so.
But I would recommend trying the game, Devin. I'm assuming you would at least...
Yeah, I mean, I'm super glad we got to play it, and I want to play again. I am.
But would you try
I
or buy?
Wait, I would never buy it. I already said that.
Fantastic.
I already said
Sean?
It. I'm gonna send a picture of all the board games that have never been played that are sitting in my house.
Okay, Sean.
Yeah, no, like I said, if somebody else had it, I'd be down to play it, but I wouldn't go out of my way to purchase this.
Zach.
I'd get it as a birthday present and then make my friends play it.
He actually took what I just said. I didn't buy it, so I'm okay with it. No, I mean, this is definitely a try game, and if you like it, then go buy it.
Is there sort of, is this
so
a sort of board game library where you can rent games? Because if there are, seriously, cut this out, that's a brilliant schema.
I actually
like Netflix for board games?
I saw a commercial for a place that did that.
There's a lot of board game cafes you can go to.
Okay, but like
we
Netflix
need to get one in Rhode Island.
There are a few places. I
and
think
call it board
that,
with
yeah.
friends.
Okay. Call with friends.
Zach, that's how you get out of the cell phone industry, sir. Open up a cafe.
I can play the drums.
Yeah,
I can do
Poetry
nothing
with Devin Decker.
I can do nothing, but I support you thoroughly.
We're aware of that.
I buff. I run. I roll. Treasure.
Friend treasure?
And that wraps up this episode of Bored with Friends.
Treasure. Treasure.
Treasure.
Treasure. I know.
And that wraps up this episode of Bored with Friends. If you have questions to ask, grievances to make, or comments to deliver, feel free to contact us at boardwithfriends42@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at boardwithfriend, or like us on Facebook. If you enjoyed our show, check out some of the other great podcasts on the Friends on a Couch Network, like Talk Wrestle Talk. Until next time, thanks for listening.